We continue with our study at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. We have been looking at that particular verse of scripture with a view to knowing exactly what God is saying to us. And this verse reads, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." We began by looking at this book of the law. And we said, in Joshua's time, it was the scroll that Moses had left behind. In our own generation, it is essentially the Bible, as we have it, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And now we noted that there's a confusion that is going around. Some people have said that we have done away with the Old Testament, and we don't need the Old Testament. And we established that that's wrong. What the Bible actually meant was that the Old Covenant, not the Old Testament. Because the Old King James gives us a confusing thing when it says the Old Testament, whereas what it actually meant was the Old Covenant. And the portion of the Old Covenant that was done away with were the sacrificial parts of it. The sacrifices for sin, because Christ has come and has already paid for the transgressions of men. So that portion of the Old Covenant has been done away with. And we noted that there were quite a number of covenants in the Old Testament time. And all those covenants are dovetailed into the New Covenant, which is in Christ Jesus. So that when we say that we don't need the Ten Commandments, we are not saying that the Ten Commandments have been abrogated. We are saying that we don't need to go and recite each one of them to be able to obey them. No. What we need is to be in Christ, and once we're in Christ, we will fulfill every portion of the Ten Commandments. And so the Lord Jesus, under the New Covenant, narrowed all the law, the Ten Commandments and all the other ordinances, to just two. What were those two? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy soul. And the second one, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the Old Testament has not been done away with. The Old Testament is part of the Bible. In fact, when you read the scriptures that say that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, what were they referring to? They were referring to the Old Testament. It has not been done away with. So this book of the law for you and I is the written word of God as contained in the Bible today, from Genesis through to Revelations. All 66 books are considered our own scripture today. Praise the name of the Lord. And then, I think last week we began to look at the second bit, which is, this word, shall not depart from out of thy mouth. And we noted that shall not is a very strong phrase. It didn't say may not, but shall not, which means must not. In other words, if you are going to make your way prosperous, and you are going to have good success basically is success that will get you to eternity. When we get to that portion, we are going to be able to analyze what good success is all about. Now, if you're going to get that good success, if you're going to enjoy that good success, enjoy that prosperous, make your way to be prosperous here on earth, then you must make sure that this book of the law, the Bible, does not depart from out of thy mouth. And then we looked at this phrase, out of thy mouth, and we asked the question, is God saying that we should make sure that the Bible is inside our mouth? Is he asking us to keep the word in our mouth? And we discovered that that's not what he was really saying. Because the Bible says that out of the abundance of what? The heart, the mouth speaks. So what he is saying basically is that if the book of the law is not to depart from our mouth, the book of the law must be where? Inside the heart. We know that the heart bubbles. My heart indicts a matter. The heart is bubbling. Always boils. It wants to say something. It is what is in your heart that will come out of the mouth. And we noted that you can make a man's heart to be good, and what will come out of his mouth will be good. You can make his heart to be bad, and what will come out of his mouth will be bad. So it is basically what is in the heart of man that will come out of his mouth. Praise the name of the Lord. We noted the Lord Jesus was speaking about the heart of the unregenerate man. The heart of the man who has not yet submitted to Christ. That heart is filled with all kinds of evil and evil thoughts. adulteries, fornication, murders, gossiping, backbiting, and so on and so forth. That's where we ended. This week, we want to look at a little bit more about the heart. Because if the heart is the source of what comes out of our mouth, and the Bible, remember last week, we noted that the Bible warns us that we should guard the heart with all diligence, because out of it spring forth the issues of life. So we need to work on the heart. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the heart of man that God put in man, the heart we are born with, this is what the Bible says about it. Talk with me, Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. And let us see what our heart is all about. The heart. What did I say the heart was last week? What did I say the heart is? The heart of man. What's the heart of man? The spirit of man. Not this one that is pumping blood. But the spirit of man, your spirit being, who you really are. That's your heart, your center, your being. Right. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is the state of a man's heart. It is deceitful above all things. It is desperately wicked. You can never know what is in a man's heart by looking at it. Because men have trained themselves not to betray what is inside their hearts. A man can tell you that he swears to God that that thing I told you I'm going to do, I will do it. And as he's saying, I swear to God, he knows in his heart that he's never going to do that. But he wants you to believe him. The heart of man is deceitful above all and is desperately wicked. The Bible says, who is it that can know it? Of course, in verse 10, it answers the question and says that God is the one who knows the state of a man's heart. In that state that the heart is, there's a problem. You cannot put the word of God inside that heart as it is and expect to get the result that will make a man's way prosperous and the result that will make a man to have good success. You can't do that. The first thing you have to do is to deal with that heart. Remember what we read last week. Make the tree good and its fruit will be. So we have to deal with making the heart good. Now, if we are going to talk about making the heart good, I need to let you understand certain things about the human heart, because it's going to deal with everything we want to discuss today. You remember last week I mentioned a situation in which people go into a radioactive lab. Remember when I mentioned that? And I said you must wear a suit to go in there, because if you don't wear that suit, the radioactive materials will attack the body. And what will happen to the body? The body itself will become radioactive. And the body, you can no longer allow that human being to dwell with other human beings. The human heart, the spirit man, is like that. It has a coat that is putting on. It is like a skin, but a very thick one. I'm sure we all know about groundnuts. How many of you know about groundnuts? What do you both call peanuts? You have to, you bring it out from the ground. It is in a shell, right? The nut itself is inside that shell. So if you must get to the shell, you must get to the nut. What do? You must crack the shell open. Good. So that is the state of the unregenerate heart is like that groundnut. The heart is inside a shell. So every time you send the word, what is happening to the word? It is hitting a shell. It is not able to enter it. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 will give us an understanding of what we are trying to say here. Matthew 13 from verse 18 to 19. Matthew 13, 18 to 19. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Now, let's go to that parable and see how that particular situation is described. Verse 4 says, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Now, if you go to the next verse, verse 20, it talks about another heart. It says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. What's the difference between this man and the man in verse 19? The man in verse 19 couldn't receive the word. Do you understand? Because of this skin in his heart. He couldn't receive. So the word was just hanging there. And it was possible for the devil to come and snatch away the word. And he is on
fruitful.
So we need to deal with this king. This king is what we call the flesh, or the sin nature, or the human nature that is attached to the human heart. It is this flesh which, if it is not removed, does not allow the word of God to enter into the heart. And in that flesh, when the word of God comes in there, what happens? The human ideas, which are already stored there, is what we now begin to describe the word of God as though it is a fleshly thing, as though it is a human thing, and it doesn't profit us. Because we begin to interpret the kingdom of God to be an earthly kingdom. We interpret the kingdom of God to mean getting a good job. We interpret it to mean getting a good house, getting a good car. The things that the Gentiles already have. Because the heart, we have not touched it yet. What we have been dealing with has been the flesh. The sin nature that is in man. So that if the word of God, if we want the word of God to do us good, to be a blessing to us, we must, of necessity, crack through the skin that is covering the heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Deuteronomy 10, 16. And Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Deuteronomy 10, 16. And 30, verse 6. We're going to read the two together. And draw out one or two things. Deuteronomy 10, 16. This is Moses speaking to the people. Therefore, circumcise the what? Foreskin of your heart. Have you seen it there? Moses is saying, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. There was a foreskin around the heart. And Moses was saying, circumcise it. Cut it away. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6 says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. These two scriptures are so critical because the first one tells us that there is a foreskin around the heart. That foreskin makes the heart to be uncircumcised. And it goes on in verse 30, in chapter 30, verse 6 to tell us that God himself is the one who can circumcise the heart. So when Moses says circumcise your heart, Moses actually says, go to God and submit your heart for his circumcision. Now, I think I described what circumcision is, basically to cut something away, to cut something off. You don't cut it and let it hang. It must be removed completely. Circumcise. When you say you are incising, you are making a cut. A circumcision is you are cutting around something and you are cutting it away. And another meaning of circumcision is to destroy. So we are not asking the foreskin to be retained. What are we asking for this foreskin to be done? To be destroyed, to be cut and destroyed. When the male baby is circumcised, nobody stores the foreskin. It's circumcised and it's destroyed. You don't keep it. Don't store it for any reason. It must be destroyed completely. So that we can appreciate the importance of circumcising our hearts. Let's begin to look at the state or the things that an uncircumcised heart will do. We're going to look at quite a bit of scriptures. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 41. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 41. And that I also have walked contrary to them, have brought them into the land of their enemies. If their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, such and such will happen. The point I'm trying to make here from that verse is that the uncircumcised heart is proud and arrogant. It's a proud and arrogant heart. It can be born again for years and still be proud and arrogant. It can be born again, doesn't matter. It will still be proud and arrogant. It is worse when such a man becomes something in his own eyes in the assembly of God. The arrogance becomes something else. Deuteronomy 10:16 that we read tells us, it says, Moses says that circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stiff-necked. So what happens with your circumcised heart? It is a stiff-necked heart. It's stubborn. It's rebellious. When a man's heart is uncircumcised, he is stubborn and rebellious. He's stiff-necked. You know what a stiff-neck is? You can't turn it. It remains the same way, the way it is. You can't turn it to the right or to the left. It is set on its own path to destruction. That's the uncircumcised heart. In Deuteronomy 30 verse 6, which tells us that God will circumcise the heart and then you'll be able to love God. Tells us that the uncircumcised heart is a loveless, selfish person. He's loveless. He cannot love God. Selfish. So it doesn't matter what you say. That man whose heart has not been circumcised can sing, I love you. He can sing it. But his heart does not love God. His heart is selfish and self-centered. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, which is a very, very crucial scripture when we are discussing the issue of circumcision of the heart. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Let my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. So what do we find there? We find that the uncircumcised heart is an untilled or uncultivated heart. An unbroken man. A wild man. That's the uncircumcised heart. When you see the uncircumcised man in a quiet environment, you will never know that he is uncultivated, that he is unbroken, that he is wild. He looks normal. In church, he's fantastic. He's okay. He knows how to speak. He can speak softly. He can. Don't forget, the heart is what? Deceitful above all. And desperately. So he can fake it. But let him find him in Port Harcourt traffic. He's out of the car and fighting. He's a wild man. He's unbroken. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. We have exhibited these things at one time or the other. You, I will show you today. He's a Christian. And there's a Bible on the dashboard of his car. But he's flown out of that car to deal with this uncircumcised Philistine. Meanwhile, his own heart is uncircumcised. He's uncultivated. The word of God has not been used to till his heart. He's unbroken. It's like Jacob. When Jacob was not yet broken, Jacob could try all kinds of tricks. But after Jacob had been broken, he couldn't try tricks anymore. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, when Stephen was preaching to the Sanhedrin, he made a statement, a very serious statement about them and sadly about us. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. The uncircumcised heart always resists the Holy Spirit. Always. The only time you find the uncircumcised man doing the will of God is when that will agrees with him. If it doesn't agree with him, he doesn't do it. It doesn't matter. And he knows that it is God that is saved. He's not bothered because he doesn't agree with him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 9. And I'm sure that as we're looking at these things, don't think that we're talking about somebody else. We're talking about all of us inside here. Don't begin to think, oh, is that? No, it's you. It's you. Because that's the best way to solve your problem. When you admit that this is who I am. Romans chapter 8 from verse 5 to 9. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I've told you that the thing around the heart is the flesh. The sinful nature. So it says those who still have that uncircumcised heart. What do they set their minds on? The things of the flesh. They come to church for job. They come to church for money. They come to church to eat. They come to church for clothes. They come to church for all kinds of reasons, but not for anything spiritual, not for anything eternal. When you find them looking for spiritual things, they see spiritual things as a means to a fleshly end. In verse 6 it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. This is an uncircumcised heart. There is nothing you are going to do. It's not subject to God. It's subject to himself and to the dictates of the flesh. That's all he listens to. Can I just inform you of something? That when God gives you an instruction, it is not always exciting to you. So if the only thing you do is the thing that excites you, you are uncircumcised. Because the instructions that God gives you, more often than not, are not exciting. You can ask Abraham how excited he was in the flesh to kill his son. In the spirit, he may have been excited, but in the flesh, he can't be excited. It's not possible. The spirit always desires to do the will of God. The flesh never. It's never subject to God, can never be, even if it wants to. Many times, we want to do certain things. We know this is the right thing to do. We want to do it, but we don't do it. Why? Because the flesh is still there. The foreskin is still there. You just look and say, if I do what I am hearing, they will say I'm a mumu. So that they will say I'm a mumu, what do you now do? You go and do what the flesh says you do. I'm sure you can begin to see yourselves in all of this. Now let's continue to read. Verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Their circumcised heart can never please God, no matter how much he tries. He can come to church every Sunday, can be in church for Bible study, can attend vigils, can attend crusades, can do all kinds of things, he can never please God. Can give money away, can even cut himself, he can never please God. Because that is not what pleases God. You see, the uncircumcised man thinks that what pleases God is the thing that pleases the flesh. Do you understand that? Whereas what pleases God is the spirit that is yielded to God. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. What is he saying there? When the spirit of Christ comes into you, he's supposed to rip that flesh apart. But you know, these days, it's easy to be born again. All you have to do is just come to the altar and kneel down. You're born again. And we tell you, you're born again. Meanwhile, the foreskin is intact. The man can even learn how to speak in tongues. The foreskin is intact. He will speak in tongues and still go home and beat the living daylights out of his wife. His foreskin is intact. He can come to church. She can come to church on Sunday and still prostitute that same Sunday night. None of him. Bible says that person is none of Christ. It cannot be. Because if indeed Christ had come, he would have torn that, he would have ripped it apart and destroyed it completely. Never to have it there again. The uncircumcised heart is fleshly, is carnal, is hostile to God. I think there's a translation like that. Is that New Living Translation that says it is hostile to God? It attacks God. Attacks the word of God. What are you talking about? Are you telling me that God is God telling you? No. That is how the uncircumcised heart is. When the word of God is coming to tell him this, you say, no, I don't accept it. He's disobedient to the word of God. That's the uncircumcised heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Today, by the grace of God, that foreskin must go. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
It must go. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through to 16. The Bible says, but the natural man, that's the man who still has the foreskin, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The circumcised heart has the mind of Christ. The uncircumcised heart does not have the mind of Christ. It cannot receive the things of God. We can pump you with scriptures from now till tomorrow. If that heart is not circumcised, it will just bounce off. You will find it difficult to do the word of God because the enablement is not there. The uncircumcised heart does not have the mind of Christ. I think it's Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8 that says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who though he was God, in the form of God, did not count it robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself, put off his glory, and came down to the earth, and humbled himself even further. And being found in the form of a man, he humbled himself even further, being obedient to the Father, even the obedience that sent him to his death. When you see the uncircumcised man wanting to be humble, you will see pride written all over that humility. You will come and say, yes. It's just because of you that I've come like this. You know, you don't know where I'm coming from. Where I'm coming from, I'm seriously respected. But you know, for your sake, I want to show myself to be humble. He has already told you how proud and arrogant he is. The uncircumcised heart is a very deadly evil and must be dealt with. If you go to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, from verse 1 to 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So what do we find there? We find that the uncircumcised person, even though he's born again, is a spiritual baby. And he will remain so as long as the flesh is around that heart. He's unable to bear the word of God, to receive the word of God, to hear the word of God, to keep the word of God. He's unable to. He just doesn't have the ability to. The uncircumcised man manifests the works of the flesh. What are the works of the flesh? I'm sure you know what the Bible tells us in Galatians. Let's read it. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. We'll read 16 and 17 and then we'll read 19 to 21. Galatians 5. 16 and 17 states, I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So that flesh around the heart has its own desires, its lusts. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. They are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Verse 19 to 21 now. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. This uncleanness and lewdness is speaking about things like homosexuality, bestiality. He's speaking about prostitution, speaking about orgies and all kinds of silly, sensual things that men do. So you see a woman who is a believer, dressed sensually, wearing tightly fitting clothes to reveal all her shape, making the dress short, exposing her cleavage, uncircumcised, the works of the flesh, to attract the man that she wants to marry. Indecent exposure. There are people who say that they are born again, but their desire is for the same sex. How are you born again? How do you have that kind of a heart that says to you that a man can sleep with a man, a woman can sleep with a woman, and you say you are in Christ? The flesh has not been dealt with yet. If you continue to read verse 20, idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Always lusting for other people's things. Desiring this, desiring that. That is what unfortunately has been bred into us these days. Because many of the people who are preaching the gospel themselves are uncircumcised. So the only thing you can hear is covetousness, which is idolatry. The devil is not going to put a stick here and say, bow to the stick. No! He's going to draw your heart to chase after things. That's idolatry. Excuse me. Sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. These are all works of the flesh. I tell you the truth. Many of our church building projects are selfish ambitions. God didn't ask them to do it. They just want to do something to show that we have arrived. That's the truth. I'm not saying it to demean anybody. I know that there are situations, churches that have been built because God said they should build. But there are churches that have been built because they felt we can do it. If they can do it, we can do it. Selfish ambition, competition. Some pastors, unfortunately, it's sad. They don't know where the creeps in, but they have opened themselves to doing such things such that their congregants and their ministers are now working for them. They bring a vision and say, this is the vision from God. And there are people where, like, they just have to follow it. Even when they receive a contrary vision, they are just there following that vision. And it has nothing to do with God and with the kingdom of God. That's the uncircumcised heart. It can be anywhere. It can be in a great man of God. It can be in a tiny congregant. It can be anywhere. It's a very deadly heart, and it must be dealt with. The man with an uncircumcised heart must first be circumcised, and the foreskin of the heart, the flesh, the sinful nature, cut off. If it is not cut off, the man remains the way he is. And so he goes to church and is still dealing with flesh, still dealing with sin. It doesn't matter what you say. What is going to come out of his mouth is the thing that is inside him. Adultery, fornication. I don't know if you've experienced it. Some people cannot but speak things that are sensual. You make a simple comment, they will turn it into a sensual thing. They will take it in a different way. The heart has not been circumcised. You appreciate a lady's heart, sister. I like this dress of you. She already has a different interpretation because her heart is not clean. Remember what the Bible says? To the pure, all things are... The man whose heart has been dealt with, all things are pure. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 6, the Bible tells us that God will circumcise our hearts. Circumcision of the heart is a purely spiritual matter. It is nothing... You don't go to a doctor and say, doctor, please open me up. You see that my heart, there's a fleshly thing. No. We are not talking of this heart that is pumping blood. We are talking of the part of you that cannot be seen. I want to show you something. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. Let me read from verse 20. Okay, let's read from verse 22 down to verse... let's just read it up now. We'll stop somewhere. From 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Verse 25. This is the spiritual part of it. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will clean you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. What's talking about it? It's a softer heart now. A heart not flesh as in sinful nature. No. A heart that is yielded to God is what God is talking about now. The stony heart is the heart that is stubborn, that does not yield to God. So I will take it out and put a heart of flesh. Verse 27. I will put my spirit within you and what? Cause you to walk in my statutes. Is that in your Bible? And you will keep my judgments and do them. When your heart has been circumcised, to obey God will be easy. To do the will of God will be simple. You will not be struggling to do the will of God. You will not be looking for, how do I do this thing now? You'll be asking, no. You won't. In fact, I think Ezekiel 26 is where God says, I will put my laws in them. Let me look for that now. Ezekiel, is it 25 or 26? No, it's not 25. Not 26. There's a part of scripture where the Lord promised that he was going to put his laws into the hearts of the people. And nobody will ask, come and teach us. Nobody will say, take us, come and show us what it is that we need to learn. He says, because all men will already know me. Praise the name of the Lord. So God is the one doing the work of circumcision. What is required of you is to recognize that this is the state of my heart. And then you go to God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Colossians 2, 11. In him that is in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. There is a putting off, there is a removing of the body of flesh, of that foreskin. It's a spiritual work. It's something done without human hands. It's something that God does. You, however, must go to God and say, Lord, I have seen today that my heart is deceitful, that my heart is desperately wicked. I need it to be clean. I need it to be cut off. I need a new heart. You have to do that. When a baby has been born, after 8 days or so, you see the parents, they'll go and call, if he's in the village, they'll go and call the baba who knows how to circumcise. Is that not what they do? The man will come with his knife. The parents can't circumcise the baby because they don't know how to do it. They can injure him if they do it. So they go and call this man. The man will now come with all his implements and his knife, very sharp knife. Cut the thing off and blood all over the place. And then he will do whatever he wants to do and the baby is circumcised. You can be crying there and be wondering, the baby doesn't feel that pain too much. It's a necessary thing. Today, there are even modern ways of circumcising children without the child crying. You take the child to the hospital, I think they put a ring somewhere. I don't know what that ring does. They put the ring and the skin falls off. And then the baby stays at home and is healed after some time. And it begins to live a normal life. As adults, when you want to be circumcised, you must go to God. God is the one doing the circumcision. In the time of Abraham, they did it themselves. Can you imagine Abraham, as old as he was, circumcising himself? It wasn't a pleasant thing. But God has made life easy for you and I. He has given us a circumcised, a place where our hearts can be circumcised. That's what God has done for us. But you are required to take it to him. Say, Lord, this is the state of my heart. It's wicked, it's deceitful. I've been living a double life. That's why many of us cannot speak the word of God. Before we say the word of God, S-H-I-T will come out. Some of us even use the F word, liberally. Why? The heart has not been touched. We are born again in name only. But in our hearts, we are not born again. Let me show you a scripture in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And Jenny, I want you to open that in NLT, because we are going to see how the NLT puts that. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Please read that. From God. Praise the name of God. That is where we want to get to. We want to remove our focus from receiving praises from men. To receive praise from whom now? From God. We want to be right with God. We want a heart that is so torn and removed that it is open to God. The groundnut, when you bring it out from the ground and it's still in the shell, you don't have access to the fruit inside. Is that not so? You're just looking at the shell. Even if you boil the shell like we normally do, the boiled one, even after you boil it, you still need to crack the shell open. You can't eat the shell. The heart must be circumcised, otherwise there's nothing God can do about it. You can cry God from now till tomorrow. If that flesh is still around the heart, nothing is going to happen. You will go to church, all right. You will sing praise, all right. But your heart will never be right with God. Because there's no room, no access to even begin to deal with what is inside the heart. We are still talking of what is around the heart. We are going to be looking at what is inside the heart next week. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 14 through to verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 14 to 18. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil, the foreskin, remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away in Christ. Till today, many people, that's why you see people quarreling and saying that the Old Testament, we should do away with it. Because their minds have been veiled. If their minds were cut open, they would understand that the New Testament points to Christ. The Old Testament, rather, points to Christ. And helps us to even appreciate better the New Testament. But a man who is uncircumcised in heart says, do away with the Old Testament. We don't need it at all. And yet, we need it. Verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, that is, the Old Testament is read, a veil lies on their heart. There's a veil of intellect, veil of intelligence, the veil of science, the veil of I'm a graduate, the veil of you don't know who my father is, the veil of historical antecedents. Many of us take pride in where we are from. That's why we have wars all over the world. This man believes that he's from a better tribe than that tribe. So if God were to say, go and marry a girl from this tribe, he and his people say, why should I marry a girl from that tribe? That girl is of an inferior tribe. In India, you have what they call the caste system. And I hear that in some parts, in Igbo land, they still operate the caste system, where some people are forever seen as slaves. They can never arise to amount to anything in the eyes of men. It is the uncircumcised heart. The heart is still veiled. So you find Christians marrying because this person is from my place, because this person is from my state. I wonder what would have happened if Bayelsa and River State remained one state. But now they are separated. You hear people say, that girl is from Bayelsa, we are from River, so we can't marry. But there was a time it was one state. There was a time we had Eastern region, excuse me, it was one region. So we could marry from the same region. Then men divided the region politically, and now we are different. Suddenly we are different people. We all belong to one state. Then they create local governments, and now we are different, because we are from different local governments. Excuse me. So there's a veil that covers the heart. So that we cannot really see what God is saying. We cannot really appreciate what God is saying. But the Bible says that veil is taken away in Christ. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, the veil is taken, the foreskin is removed. It's a spiritual work. When we turn to Christ. He didn't say when you turn to a church. He didn't say when you go to a pastor. When you turn to who now? When you turn to Christ. You must turn to Christ. And say, Lord, the veil is still there. I don't know what has happened. Because as long as that veil is there, you will not be able to receive the word of God. It will come, it will bounce off. You will come to church. 5 minutes after, they will ask you, how was service? You said it was good. What did they say? You don't know. Because you didn't receive anything. I used to say that, and people thought I was joking. Then one day, a fellow went out of town some years ago, one church I pastored. And, you know, he called a friend of his. And the guy said, wow, you really missed today. Church was hot. Church, you missed. Church was hot. So he said, what was it that they discussed? He said, I don't know, but church was hot. So what was church hot about? The flesh, the skin, the heart have not any circumstances. Verse 17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Now, please, I want to make a note here. There's a difference between liberty and license. Liberty is freedom that is within boundaries. License is a freedom without boundaries. Let me explain to you now. When you drive, as you should drive, you are driving in liberty. So, this is the lane I should be driving. I'm on my lane. I'm not between two lanes. Do you understand? I'm on my own lane. I'm going in the direction I'm supposed to go. What am I doing now? I'm driving in liberty. If I get to a place where it says stop, and I stop, I'm driving in liberty. I've not been stopped from driving. I've been stopped so that somebody else can pass. I have liberty. The other person also has liberty. Within the confines of law, within the boundary. License has no boundary. License is what we do in Nigeria. Suddenly, you just see one man just enter the opposite direction with siren, he's not going anywhere other than to go and back on another junction. But because he has a siren on the car, he drives in the opposite direction, wing, and you have to leave the road for him. If you don't leave the road, he will come out with a gun. It's called license. Where the Spirit of God is, there is what?
Liberty. Not license.
Liberty means that you dress in a way that glorifies God. License glorifies the flesh. Liberty says that you act in a manner that glorifies God. License glorifies the flesh. That's the difference. So we are called to liberty, not to license. Verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, with the heart unveiled. So when that heart is veiled, what is happening now? We are able to behold. We are now open to the word of God, which is like a mirror. And when we are open to it, what is happening there now? We are being transformed into the same image from glory to just as by the spirit of the... Now, I go back to that illustration I used. We are all wearing suits right now. We're all wearing radioactive protection suits. So anywhere we go, even though the place is radioactive, it's not affecting us. Do you understand? But if we were to remove that suit in that place, what happens? We ourselves now become radioactive. We're infected by the radioactive material and must be kept away from the people who have not been infected by it. Otherwise, we will infect them. When the word of God touches you, the man who has not received the word of God will run away from you. Because if he stays with you, he will be infected by it. Do you understand what I'm saying? As long as the foreskin of the flesh is still in you, you can't touch anybody. You can go to church all you can. You can quote the Bible all you can. Nobody is affected because you are protected. Do you understand? You are saying something, but it's not in your life. The radioactive material doesn't touch you. You have a suit every time you are going to that lab. You come out, remove the suit, and come back normal. And you can play with your friends, and they're not touched by it. We can go to church with that suit on. We hear the message. We leave the church. We go back to the world, and we are just like them. There's no active substance in us that infects them. By now, when we go back to the world, people should be running away from us. You remember Moses? Every time Moses went up to the mountain to meet with God and came back, what did the people do? They ran because his face was shining. So Moses would cover a veil, would put a veil. He would actually leave the face open so that people would run away. Then when the thing is fading, he would quickly put a veil and then run back up to see God and then come back again with a veil because he's shining. But we don't need a veil. It has been done. What many of us do is what Moses was doing. That's what we try to do. When we notice that our spiritual temperature is going down, we quickly run to church for a meeting. Then we come back and say we have received energy. So we now go. But the energy doesn't last because the foreskin is still there. The foreskin must be torn. The foreskin must be ripped apart. We must get to the very source of the problem, the very root of the situation. I close with this story in 2 Kings. I think it's 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's read from verse 19. From verse 19, yes. Then the men of the city of Jericho, said to Elisha, "Please notice the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him, and then he went out to the source of the water. Notice what he did. He went to the source of the water, and cast in the salt there, and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. It was the men of Jericho who went to Elisha to say to him, "Look at our city. It's a pleasant looking city. But there is death in this city. The ground is barren. Things are happening in this city that should not be happening. Young men are dying. Women who are pregnant are never able to hold their pregnancies to full term. They miscarry, and the miscarried babies are dead. The situation is bad. Sir, do something about it." Elisha said, "Give me a new cruise, new pot. Put salt in it." They put the salt in it. Then he went to the source of the water. He didn't stand by the edge of the river. He went to the real source, the place where the thing starts from, and sprinkled salt in it and spoke. He said, "As this salt in new cruise has touched that water, from now on, the entire city changed." There's something that God is going to do in your life once he touches your heart. Everything about your life changes. You cannot be the same again. The way the men of Jericho went to Elisha is the way you should go to God. Say, "Lord, look at me. Outwardly, I look fantastic. I look like a person that everybody would love. But you and I know that I'm still dealing with masturbation. I'm still dealing with homosexuality. I'm still dealing with fornication and adultery. I'm still dealing with thoughts. Thoughts that are not of you. There are issues in my life. Idolatry is in my life. Wrath is in my life. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy is still in my life. Witchcraft, party spirit. I need to form a clique and look for how to detach people from other people who are friends. Yet I say I'm a Christian. Lord, I have heard your word that says my heart needs to be circumcised. And I bring my heart to you today. Come and circumcise my heart. Come and cut away the foreskin of my heart. So that I can, your word can have access to my heart. I remember your word that says that you will remove the stony heart and put a fleshly heart. Lord, I am ready for it today. That's all you need to do. Let's go and pray. Go and talk to God. If you say your heart is okay, no problem. But if you know that there are issues in your life, like we mentioned, the uncircumcised heart, you know that there's stubbornness, there's pride, there's arrogance, there's rebellion, there's selfishness in you. You are wild, uncultivated, unbroken. You resist the Holy Spirit. You are hostile to God and to the Word of God. You find that obeying the Word of God is a challenge for you. It's a very difficult thing. You can't receive the things of God. Sometimes you wonder what kind of mind you have because your mind is thinking of thoughts that has nothing to do with God. Even in church. And you don't know how to deal with it. More often than not, you are still a babe in Christ. Even though you have been born again for years. You go to God and say, Lord, this is my situation. This is why I'm uncircumcised. I have seen what the issue is. The issue is there's still a flesh around me. The sin nature is still very much in me. So I am moved by the things of the world. I'm moved carnally. When I have to make a choice between you and the world, I inevitably, as much as I would love to choose you, I find myself choosing the world. Because that foreskin is still covering my flesh. It's still covering my heart. Father, come and rip it apart. Come and cut it off. Come and destroy it completely. Let the works of the flesh be a thing of the past in my life. Let the lusts of the flesh, let them be a thing of the past in my life. The desires of the flesh, let them be removed, expunged from my heart. Let my desire be to do the will of God. Father, I come to you today. I need the circumcision of my heart. I need my heart to be circumcised. I need my heart, the thing, the foreskin, the jacket, the suit that is covering my heart, this suit of flesh, the foreskin of flesh, the foreskin of worldliness, the foreskin of pride and arrogance, the foreskin of stubbornness and stiff-neckedness, the foreskin of adultery and idolatry, the foreskin, Almighty and Everlasting God, of resisting the Holy Spirit, of hostility to God and disobedience to the Word of God. Father, I need it to be removed from my life in the name of our Lord Jesus. No wonder I am speaking the Word of God and at the same time the words of men. No wonder with the same mouth I am blessing and cursing. No wonder. No wonder. No wonder I go to church. I hear a message. It touches me in church. But once I go out, it's as if I didn't go near anywhere. Oh, Father, help me. Father, help me. The flesh that is covering my heart, Lord, rip it apart. Rip it apart. Rip it apart today. Rip it apart today, Almighty and Everlasting God. Rip it apart today, Almighty God. Oh, that this book of the law might profit me. That this book of the law might be all that is issuing forth out of my mouth. Yes, Father. Rip it apart. Rip it apart. Destroy it completely. There's no need. There's no need to remove it and hang it somewhere. Because it's not needed anymore. Father, rip it apart. Cut it off. Cut it away, Lord. Cut it away, Lord. Cut it away, Lord. Cut it away, Lord. Oh yes, my Father, my God. Circumcise my heart. Circumcise my heart today, Lord. Circumcise my heart today, Lord, that I may love you as I ought to love you. Oh, that I may be selfless in the things that I do. Circumcise the foreskin of my heart, Almighty God. Take it away, Lord. Take it away, Lord. Take it away, Lord. Oh, I don't need it. It's not necessary. It's just not relevant to me anymore. For now, I'm a child of the living God. Oh yes, Lord, come and cut away. Come and cut away, Lord, the foreskin of my heart. Come and cut away, Lord, the foreskin of my heart. Come and cut it off, everlasting Father. Come and cut it away, Lord. Oh, brethren, talk to the Lord this morning. Talk to the Lord this morning. Come and cut it off, Almighty God. I have seen how desperately wicked, how deceitful this heart of mine is. And I want it removed. You have said in your word, make the tree good, and its fruit will be good. Lord, I want the words that come out of my mouth to be words of blessings, words of life. Words that cause men to seek you. I need my heart to be circumcised, Lord. I need my heart to be circumcised, Lord. Do your work, Almighty God, so that I will be able to do your will. I will be able to do your word. I will be open to your word. Brethren, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Touch me one more time, oh Lord. Touch me one more time, oh Lord. I need a touch from the Master. I need a touch from you, Lord. Touch me one more time. Oh, Lord. Brethren, talk. I said, Lord, come and touch this heart. Come and touch this heart. Tear the false skin that is covering this heart from receiving your love. That is causing, that is not allowing my heart to be infested with your word. That is not allowing your word to touch and attack the heart until the heart takes the shape, the form of the word of God. Until my heart is filled totally and completely with your word. Manifesting the glory of Jesus. Touch my heart, Lord. Touch my heart, Lord. Touch my heart, Lord. Oh, brethren, talk to God. It's about you. It's you. You. It's you. The men of Jericho, they went to Elijah. They said, Elijah, look at our city. Everybody thinks it's okay. But there is death there. Please do something about it. And Elijah did it. You must go to God and say, Lord, there is something wrong in my life. I've been born again now for years, but I cannot stop fornicating. I cannot stop being involved in adultery. The thoughts of my head, they are always leading me to sin. And the thought of God is not occupying my life. Talk to God. Take your matter to God. Don't come and discuss with a man. There's nothing the man can do. He can only pray for you. Nobody knows how the foot is pinching like the man wearing the shoe. You are the one who knows the thing there. You know your desire is to please God. But the ability is just not there. Today there's an opportunity. Go to God in prayer. Say, Lord, you know I want to do your will, but there's this struggle. Father, this is the state of my heart. Come and remove. Come and cut that. Come and cut that foreskin away. Come and cut that foreskin away. I want your word to begin to infect me. I want your word to begin to infect me all over my being. That I will be filled with your word, even as this foreskin is removed. The foreskin of the flesh is removed. The foreskin of worldliness is removed. The foreskin of carnality is removed. The foreskin of being natural is removed. Spirituality comes in. Oh yes, Lord. Even as we turn to you, Lord, help us. Help us, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us. Help us, Father. Let us be carnal no more. Let us be stiff-necked no more. Let the deceitful nature of the heart be no more. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill my heart. I need your presence. I need you. Holy Spirit, fill my heart. Holy Spirit, fill my heart. Cut off every fleshliness that is there. Circumcise the foreskin of my heart. Holy Spirit, help me, help me. I need you every hour. I need you every moment. Help me, Lord. Blessed be your name, Father. Let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. By the grace of God, it doesn't end here. This is just the beginning. It's a prayer we're going to pray until the nature of God permeates through us. Until the nature of God is inside our hearts. Until we and the Word of God are one and the same. Until the glory of Jesus is made manifest in our own lives. Until we can go back to the world and the world say, if I move around you, you will change me to become a Christian. Even without your speaking, that's where we want to be. Where God is so entrenched in us, that when sinners come near us, they begin to fall down on their knees and say, please, tell God to save my soul. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. Father, we want to thank you for that which you have spoken in our hearing today. Almighty and everlasting God, every uncircumcision in our hearts, deal with in Jesus' name. Lord, the foreskin of the flesh, uproot, remove, cut away, destroy in the name of Jesus. Leave us exposed and exposed to your word and your word alone. Help us to be so focused on your word that we take on the image of your son Jesus. We are infested and infected by your word. So much so that, Lord, when we go out into the world and the world comes near us, they know that we have been with Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.